Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Since it first took off in the 1950s, the famous Lego brick has occupied a special place in many Irish family homes stretching back generations. Well, today it's a company with a turnover of billions. It has tie-ins with brands like Disney and Star Wars. Its products are increasingly aimed at both adults and children. Well, here to tell us about the fascinating backstory to the Lego company and the persistent environmental concerns around its use of plastic is Adam Maguire of the RTE Business Desk. Hello, Adam.
How are you?
You're a fan of Lego, are you?
Oh, big fan, yeah. Always have been, yeah.
I think in every house, there's always one, isn't there,
at least? Yeah, absolutely, yeah. At least one, yeah, yeah. A few in my house now, including me.
Good. Well, I think overall, it's good for people to use it, but we'll come to those environmental concerns in a moment. How much money does Lego make?
Yeah, well, in 2023, it made a net profit of more than 13 billion Danish krona, which is equivalent of around 1.76 billion euros. So a lot of money, actually down though on the money it made in 2022, because it was one of the big beneficiaries of the pandemic. You know, a lot of people bought sets online in order to keep their kids or themselves occupied and entertained during lockdown. So sales then in the first half of last year up significantly as well. Revenues of 31 billion krona in the first 6 months of 2024. So that's about 4.2 billion euro. So potentially last year could be a record year for Lego. Could be the biggest ever. It's also doing that in a time when the market, the toy market in general, is shrinking. So Lego is taking a bigger share than it did in the past. And I think what's really remarkable about all of that is that it's still a family-owned business, essentially. Its parent company, Kirkby, is an investment management firm operated by the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Ole Kirk Christensen, who invented Lego many, many years ago. Really rare that you get a company of this size that's still fully private and fully family owned. Mm-hmm. Usually at some point, you know, the lure of a stock market flotation is too hard to resist, or you get private equity coming in as well. But so far, the Christensens have managed to avoid that temptation.
Right. That leaves us nicely primed for a succession type story now.
Yeah, you'd hope so. Yeah, there's three of the grandchildren or the great grandchildren now who are basically running the show, running the company.
Right.
So
will you go back though to the man who started it all, Ole Kirk?
Yeah. So the man behind Lego, he was a carpenter by trade initially, working on building and repairing homes and making products like ladders as well. And it was only when sales of kind of household products started to wane that he decided to try his hand at making children's toys like yo-yos and trucks. And it proved successful enough that he set up a company called Lego, based on the Danish words leg got, which means play well. And you know, it's really remarkable that we're talking about him at all today, because it had no reason to survive the early years, let alone become the toy behemoth that it is today. Because it was established in 1932, right in the middle of a Great Depression in Denmark. At the time, unemployment was running somewhere in the region of 30 to 40%. So people were obviously struggling to feed themselves and to stay in their homes.
Plastic bricks.
Yeah, not a great time to try and convince them to buy a wooden duck. Just as the country emerged from that, World War II started and Denmark was ultimately occupied by Nazi Germany until 1945. Although even before Denmark was made independent, Lego suffered another catastrophe. It had an electrical fire at its factory, which led to the whole building burning down, all of its stock gone as well. Somehow, though, Ole Kirk managed to rebuild it and start operating again in 1944. At the time, though, it was still focusing on wooden toys.
Right, so the wooden toys, were there any sort of fit-together element, or when did that start?
No, they were all just like, you know, yo-yos
pull-along
little animals and things like that. No blocks or bricks like that.
So when did that all come about? When did we start to see the Lego that we know today emerge?
Yeah, so that starts to emerge in the late 40s. The company started experimenting with plastic in order to work around a post-war shortage of materials like wood. They bought an injection moulding machine, really expensive machine, and eventually they became aware of how a UK company called Kiddy Craft was using a similar machine to make a product called the interlocking building cube. Very exciting name. So that was first patented in 1940. You can look online and at pictures of them. Very, very similar to the Lego that you can buy today. The main difference is they're hollow underneath. They don't have the little kind of tubes to let them
fit together.
And they have slits in the side as well. Now, Lego does credit Kiddy Craft as the basis of their Lego brick. They claim that in the 50s, they contacted the creator, Hilary Fisher Page, to ask if he'd mind them making a copy. They say he had no objection at all and actually encouraged him and said, look, I haven't done too well selling them. Best of luck.
Good man, Hilary. Very generous.
And by 1953, the Lego brick was made then. They made a slight tweak in the late 50s to add those little tubes to make them more stable. And that's the brick we know today. So in theory, you could buy a shop, buy a set now in a shop, and it would connect perfectly with a set that was bought in the late 50s mm-hmm. or into the 60s. The sad thing, though, is though that, you know, just as Lego was creating something that would ultimately make hundreds of billions of dollars in the future, Page's business was struggling. It was on the brink of bankruptcy. And Page ultimately died by suicide in 1957, about 3 years before Lego brought the product to British shelves.
Oh,
so he never actually saw the product and the success of it. Mm. Eventually in the 80s, Lego bought up the residual rights of Page's designs, just before they then went on to launch lawsuits of their own against toy companies for copying Lego bricks and designs, which seems a little bit hypocritical because, you know, they copied someone else's design and then they took to the courts to stop others from doing the same.
Right, so they've done that. So they've taken action. But you can go around to some of the, you know, the pound shops and you can buy bricks that sort of look like Lego. How are they getting away with that?
Well, essentially because they no longer have a patent on the core Lego design. You know, as I say, the patent would have been first on the kind of first Lego bricks in the 1950s. It differs from countries to countries and it changes over the years as well. But generally, patents at the time anyway lasted 20 years. So kind of from the 70s on, Lego starts losing control over the iconic kind of Lego brick. It would have constantly been filing new patents on new tweaks and designs over the years. But, you know, so it didn't all go at once. But it means essentially that you know, Lego brick, the iconic Lego brick, they don't have control of it anymore. They've tried to introduce trademarks and copyrights where possible. So if a company does push its luck in trying to imitate Lego too much and the look of it in terms of the branding and all that, they have some kind of protection there. But yeah, you can go into a pound shop, you can buy a Lego-like set, and it will probably fit in pretty well with the Lego that you have, the official Lego that you have. But, you know, without being a purist about it, not all bricks are created equally. You know, in fairness to Lego, they've put a lot of effort into ensuring the blocks are made from actually really good quality materials. They don't bend or break too easily. And they have a tiny margin for error in the manufacturing process. You know, they're very specific in the plastic they use. They've rejected lots of alternatives over the year. Apparently, the tolerances on their machines are somewhere in the region of 0.002 millimeter. So that's the difference in size that's allowed from one brick to the other. And it means that they will fit together perfectly. And, you know, when you pick up those cheap sets, you can tell pretty quickly that doesn't apply. They don't fit as well together.
Yeah.
They don't break as easily either, you know. And I think, you know, if Lego had been taken over or invested in by a private equity company, that's probably the first thing that would have changed. They would have come in and said, let's use cheaper materials. Let's not be as specific in terms of the size of the bricks and all that kind of stuff. So we can be thankful that didn't happen and they've kept that kind of quality.
Right. Well, that's why then, that's probably the explanation as to why it's so expensive.
It's definitely
part of it.
It
really is expensive.
It is really,
for a small set, you could be talking 40, 50, 60. And then some of the really expensive ones are, you know, unlimited prices.
Really, really kind of crazy money. You know, partly, it is that, you know, specific manufacturing process. Also, their reputation allows them to kind of charge more. But yeah, you can go into the Lego aisle or into the Lego aisle of a toy shop or the Lego shop and you see sets priced at €200. You know, the Home Alone house is €300. Rivendell from Lord of the Rings, €500. The Millennium Falcon, I think, is the most expensive set at the moment, €850 for a Lego set. But there are other factors at play because, you know, all those ones that I mentioned there are part of franchises of other companies. So Star Wars, Home Alone, you know, Lord of the Rings and so on. And this has become a bigger part of Lego's business over the past 20 years and a way of countering the patent loss. You know, so they basically get, you know, the likes of Harry Potter sets or Disney sets. They've just announced they're making a Bluey set later this year, which is very exciting news in my house. And it they come at a premium because, you know, they can sell them for more because they're property companies, but also because Disney or, you know, DC or Nintendo have to get a cut as well because they're licensing out their branding. And so that adds to the price as well. Another factor that's led to the rise in Lego is that it's now actively targeting adults who have a lot more money to spend as well and are willing to spend it. Like there's an architecture range sets like Notre Dame Cathedral for €230, Icons range, including Titanic for €680. And these are sets that are meant to be built and put up on a shelf and kind of left there. So a lot of money for a little ornament kind
John
of thing.
John has been in touch. He says, I bought my wife the replica of the Ernest Shackleton ship, the Endurance, for Christmas. But they have so many sets now that they have to build an extension to the house to accommodate them. It's great fun. But you do get such a sense of pleasure when you
do.
And
a great
one,
sense of achievement they're done as well. And the problem then is if you have kids that you have to put them up somewhere high so that they don't wreck it on you and lose all the pieces on you as well.
But I know. And you stand stand on them then early in the morning. That's not pleasant.
What's remarkable is that, you know, it's kind of an about turn from Lego to have these adult sets. They now have something in the region of 170 sets aimed at adults, like they're 18 plus in terms of the difficulty of them.
Because
people might remember back in 2001, the White Stripes and Michel Gondry made a video for Fell in Love with a Girl that was like an animation using Lego. At the time, Jack White claimed that they contacted Lego to ask if the White Stripes could have a set built that like would go as a limited edition with the record that you the first 100 would have a little White Stripes Lego set.
What did Lego say?
And they were turned down. They told, no, we only target people 12 and under. We're not interested in targeting adults at all.
Right. So that was back in 2001.
So
that's
over,
all changed.
Just over 20 years ago. And now suddenly it's a massive part of the business and they're making an awful lot of money off it as well.
Now, the sets are much more complicated because of that, because of the targeting of adults. Actually, you want to see complicated sets, you just have to go into the Lego store on Grafton Street.
Some of the ones
and my
set up,
gosh, they have some incredible structures in there to stand back and admire, haven't they?
Yeah, they really do. The Eiffel Tower, it's one of the most pieces, more than 10,000 pieces in it. So that's going to take you a while to put that together. And, you know, they've started making a lot more unique pieces as well that fit only one particular design rather than just using the kind of generic bricks that people would know. But some people complain about that. But Lego was badly burned in the 90s because they decided to retire some of the more complex sets in favour of simpler ones. And that decision contributed to a massive slump in sales. It almost ruined the company. They had to sell off the Legolands they had around the world to try and keep the business afloat.
Right.
And it took them taking more complex sets, licensing stuff like Star Wars before they bounced back. You can still, though, go and buy a box or a tub of the classic Lego, you know, if you want to.
So. The environmental impact, though, and it has been subject to much criticism of late for that.
Yeah, the majority of the plastic that they use is virgin, meaning it's coming directly from kind of fossil fuels rather than being recycled. As of last year, just 22% of the materials used were recycled or reused. Also very hard to recycle a Lego brick. They say, well, you don't need to because it'll last for ages, so just gift it on to somebody else. But yeah, it's definitely an issue there. They say they're going to try and use more recycled materials by 2026. They did a couple of years ago, people though might remember, say, oh, we found a way to make Lego bricks from recycled plastic bottles. And then they turned around 2 years later and said, actually, we're not going to do that because the emissions are just as bad. So they've promised to improve this in the past, but it's taken them a lot of time.
The problem still exists. Adam, thank you so much. Adam McGuire there. Now I got a little bit lost in that, so we're going to be a little bit late going to news, but it's coming up after this break.